حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات على محمد وعلى آله.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
First of all, I would like to congratulate all of you for entering the month of Ramadan. And this being the first night of the month of Ramadan, and we greet it with eagerness to do good deeds, with humility to obey the commands of Allah, and with a hope of seeking forgiveness of our mistakes, of our sins, and with the desire to earn the rewards that it has for us. And my encouragement to you all, my brothers and sisters, is to make use of whatever opportunity you have in it to do good, and strive to learn and to rectify our mistakes, because it is very hard to come across a time where we have the opportunity to train ourselves. The rest of the year just goes by. We are what we are, and our mistakes are with us, and we see that there are opportunities that come here and there where we have the chance to rectify ourselves, to do islah in ourselves. But this is a time that Allah gives to us and grants to us that we are able to do a lot of changing in this month. And it comes through reflection. It comes through thinking. And this is the best time to think. And usually we see that human beings, they are not able to think a lot. But this is the best time to think because we are not eating. And because we eat, we see that we hardly have time to think. And it usually is the case that when you are eating, you see it's very hard to do other things. You know, if someone is asking you a question and you are in between a bite, you will ask him to wait until the bite is done so that you are able to think about what he's saying. Usually it does happen that when we are full, we lose that ability to reflect. And this is a time where we don't eat, so now we have this extra time to think, and really it does give us that opportunity to, you know, to really look into ourselves. Look into ourselves and be honest about ourselves, so that we are able to see how we are able to change and how we are able to improve. As far as we see that when the month of Ramadan has come, as I had said yesterday, that we are here to obey Allah, to be obedient to His laws and His rules. And whatever He has said, we are obedient to that. That is what makes us Muslim. When we know that Allah has said something, so we obey that. This is what makes us Muslims. We don't try to argue with Him. If I say something, if I say, well, I think, you know, we should have, for example, red wall, then you can argue with me and say, no, we should have a white wall. Because of the fact that when I speak, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. There's no 100% that I'm right all the time. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong when I say something. And you can argue with me. But when we see that Allah says something, and we start arguing with His laws, with our own mind and with our own reasoning, we start arguing with His laws, then how can we call ourselves Muslims in reality? I mean, how can we call ourselves Muslims when we are arguing with Allah and saying that, no, we will do it in this way for whatever reason we have. And even though you said this, this is not the way we are going to act. And this is the reason why there are rules in Islam. Allah has given a book of law. He has handed to us a law, and we go by that law to see when is the beginning of the month? When is the ending of the month? Anyone who goes against the rules that Allah has given us, then it means he is trying to argue with Allah and trying to tell Him that we know what's best for us, even though it is His ibadat we are doing, but we want to do it in our way. Imagine that. I mean, if, for example, if it was my job I'm doing, if it was my job I'm doing, or my thing, or whatever I need to do if I'm doing, it's one thing. Right? There also Allah has says, do halal, not haram. Where Allah has says, you do it in this way, you don't do it in that way. But we see that over there, even if you argue, you can understand it. But we are doing the ibadat of Allah. We are doing the worship of Allah. We are worshipping Allah. The month of Ramadan here is to worship Allah, to fast. And in that we are arguing with Allah that we will do it the way we want to. Yeah, understand that. We are doing the way we want to, and hence, because we already decided on a date, we'll start it then. Imagine that. So now what's happening here? We are arguing with Allah about when we are going to do your ibadat, when we are going to worship you. Allah has mentioned in the Quran about the month of Ramadan and about the obligation of fasting. He said, أَيَّامٌ مَعْدُودَةٌ, that there are a certain days that are known, that are known to you. Those certain days are the days you must fast. And those days, He has put limits around it. He has made it clear that it starts at a certain time, it ends at a certain time. You cannot make it start earlier, you cannot extend it. And hence, in this regard, you should know that it is the month of Ramadan, that month that comes. When we see the month that comes, it comes with the beginning of when we look at the hilal, or when we have witnesses regarding the hilal, not by the declaration of people or not by their convenience. For example, if we say that Allah says that you have to pray Dhuhr when the sun starts to decline. When the sun starts to decline, you pray Dhuhr. And, well, by that time I have to be at work. So, let me pray a little bit earlier. Let me pray a little bit earlier so that I can pray here and get to work. This is worship of Allah. Anyway, I'm doing the worship of Allah. See, understand this. If you ask any Muslim and say, would that be accepted? Is that acceptable to make your prayer before the time comes? And everyone will say, no, it's not accepted. Why is it not accepted? Because the time for prayer hasn't come. Why should we wait for the time for prayer? Because the prayer itself doesn't become effective until the time starts. The worship doesn't become effective until the time starts. If you do it beforehand, this is not worship. Because Allah's law is different. So if you don't obey Allah's law, it means that prayer you're going to do is useless. This is the same thing. If Allah has said that the month is going to start when you see the hilal, and now you have already declared it. So now what happens? You have made your own law. You have made your own law as opposed to the law of Allah. And this is, my brothers and sisters, that we have to be very careful about, that we are Muslim. Muslim means one who submits to Allah's law. He does not make his own law in opposition to Allah's law. Salawat ala Muhammad wa
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Ali Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
So now, with the subject that we want to start, and this surah that I recited for you is a well-known surah that all of us know it. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal asr, I swear by time, innal insana lafi khusr, that man is in loss, illa alladhina amanu, except those who believe, wa amilu salihat, and those who do good deeds, wa tawasaw bil haq, they invite towards truth, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ, and they invite towards sabr. We see that this is a chapter that everyone knows, and in this we will be studying about insan and iman, and in these things, as we go on, we'll be looking into what is insan, and then we will see what is iman. We will see that how is iman achieved, what are the different types of iman, what are the different levels of iman, what is the life of a believer, what are the conditions and requirements to become a believer? What are the things that prevent us from getting iman? And what is the difference between the character of a mu'min, a believer, as opposed to someone who's not? These are some of the things that we will be studying and trying to analyze. And before we go into that, the chapter itself, as we see that we should know what it means so that we understand insan and iman, because these are the subjects of this chapter. And in this chapter we see Allah mentions two things. he mentions loss and he mentions success. When he mentions loss, we see the subject of loss is insan. And when he mentions success, we see that the subject of success is iman. That loss is mentioned in relationship to man, and success is mentioned in relationship to iman. And when we look at these two things, we see that how interesting it is that Allah has mentioned losers before He mentioned those who are successful. See this. It is according to the laws of eloquence, how He has mentioned those who lose before those who win or those who are successful. And this is something that must be understood. And in it, Allah gives us a principle, a rule by which we can do so many more things. And when we read the ayat, we say, "Wal asr," by time, I swear that insan, that mankind is in loss. They are losers. And after he mentions losers, then he mentions those who are successful, those who will win. So in other words, the primary discussion is about losers here. The primary discussion is about losers, and Allah excludes those who are successful with four attributes. He excludes them from the group with these four attributes and says that those who have iman, those who have good deeds, those who have truth, those who have sabr. By mentioning those four things, he excludes them from the primary group. And so now we see, in order to understand this rule, let me give you an example. Whenever there's an issue, and there are two sides to the issue, you see that when you have to mention the two sides, you will mention the larger part of the group first, and the smaller part later. For example, I say, let's say in Adinatul Ilm, there are 100 people. There are 100 people. And we see that out of the 100 people, one day, only 8 show up, 10 show up. Only 10 show up. So now, what will I say? I say that no one is here except for these 10. You understand this? No one is here except for these 10. Now let's say if there are 100 people and 90 showed up, I will say everyone is here except for 10. You see that? Everyone is here except for 10. So why? Because when the majority of the people do one thing, first you mention them, then you exclude those who are otherwise, whether it's negative or positive, it doesn't matter. In whatever way it is, we see that you should always say about the majority first, then you speak of the minority. So when we see that most of the people are not here, so I speak about those who are not here and say no one is here except for the 10. So no one includes the majority. And if the majority is here, I say everyone is here except for 10. So it means that this everyone has the majority who are here, those who are not are the minority. So whenever you want to speak and expound on an issue, at first you speak of the majority, then you speak of the minority. So when we look at the world, if the majority of the world was good, then Allah would have said that inna al-insana, that mankind is successful, except those who don't have faith and those who are not good. But because most of the people, the majority of the people are bad, this is the reason Allah mentions them first and mentions the good later, letting us know that the majority in this world are bad, only a minority is good. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Understand what I'm saying, my brother and sister, so that we are able to see the rule that Allah has given here, the usul that He has given here. And He swears on this by time. He swears on this by time. He says, well, I swear by time that this is the case. I swear by time that this is the case, that mankind, most of them are astray, most of them are wrong, most of them are no good. Except for those who have these attributes. So now, majority is bad. Minority is good, and Allah swears by time. And He swears by time, in other words, He keeps time as a witness to this. See, whenever you want to swear by anything, or you take an oath about anything, and you say, I swear by this, I swear by that, it means that I keep that as a witness. I make time as a witness that the majority are bad. And when we look at time, time itself, in every time, in every era, we see this happening. This fact we see in every time and every era, we see this becoming a reality. When we look at the whole of time of mankind, we see in the time of Nuh, in the time of Nuh, when Nuh made a dua to Allah, and said, رَبَّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ كَافَرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Oh Allah, do not keep any of these kafirin on the earth. Do not keep any of these kuffar on the earth. When he made this dua to Allah, we see that the majority was what? The majority was wrong. The majority was bad. Only a minority was good. So now Allah, in order to emphasize this fact, said, Nuh, build a ship. He said, build a ship. Why was the ship built? Understand this, my brothers and sisters. Why was this ship built? There could have been other ways in which those people could have been saved. There would have been other ways in which those people could have been saved. But he asked Nuh to build a ship to let everyone know that this ship is going to be saved. And those who are on this ship is going to be saved. So amongst all those people, only the people who are getting on this ship will be saved. Now let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's say that many people do istighfar when they see this coming and they say, let's get on the ship. Let's get on this ship. It means the ship, that ship that Archie made would have been small. Would have been too small. But we see that Nuh made that ship according to Allah's plans. Allah gave the design. He said it should be only this big. So he made that ship that big. So Allah knew that no one more than that which can be accommodated on this ship can be saved. So in other words, Allah wanted to emphasize that when we speak of minority, it means only that minority that is capable of getting on this ship. So just like when we see this, the reason Nuh made that ship and he let the people know that this is the ship that will be saved, just like that, Rasulullah said that the example of my Ahlul Bayt is the example of the ship of Nuh. Ya Allah. Those who get on it will be saved, those who don't will be drowned. Ya Allah. In other words, we see that that ship was the only ship that could save anyone. So all the people that were there, only that amount of people were saved who were on the ship. No more can get on. Ya If there are more people wanting to get on, there was no space. So Allah knew by design that only a small minority will be successful. Just like that, if you think that many people are not here, and if you go to other places there are more people, then understand that ship is too small to hold all those other people. If Allah had meant for that ship to be bigger, He would have made it bigger. And this is the reason we see the ship of Ahlul Bayt is that ship which is inviting everyone. But Allah has emphasized that the minority will be right, but the majority will be wrong. And this went on. This went on in the time of Ibrahim also. Ibrahim, he made a dua. And he made a dua and, well, actually he told Allah. He told Allah that, رَبَّ إِنَّا هُنَّا أَزْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Oh Allah, these idols have misguided many of the people. Most of the people. These idols have misguided most of the people. Meaning, in other words, that majority of the people in the time of Ibrahim were wrong. Were bad. The majority of the people were bad. So that's why he's saying most of the people have been misguided by who? These idols. Now, how did those idols misguide that is another issue. I mean, the idols, they don't speak, they don't do anything. But he's saying they misguide. And they were misguided. Most of the people were misguided. Those people were misguided. And we see this in the time of Ibrahim. That most of the people at that time were misguided, were wrong, only a handful were right. Then we go to the time of Moses, Musa. We see in his time that when he came back from the mountain 10 days late, when he returned from the mountain 10 days late, what happened? Most of the people were worshipping a cow. They left Harun, he came there, he told Harun that, Harun, what happened? Why did these people leave? He held his beard. He said, Harun, why did these people leave? He said, well, they started worshiping a cow. If I had said something, they would have killed me.
Yeah, Allah.
Right? Those people would have killed me. That's why I didn't say anything. But you see, most of the people went wrong. Most of the people were astray. The majority of the people are wrong. Again, we see the same thing happening in the time of Musa. Most of the people are worshiping the cow. Only a few are with Harun. You see that? And we come to the time of our Prophet. We see most of the people are worshipping idols. And only our Prophet saying, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِهُ. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, you'll be successful. So you see, most of the people, even in the time of our Prophet, are misguided. They are astray. They are lost. In every age this is happening. My brother, I'm giving these examples to you. So that you can understand this. Most of the time when we see Allah has said, Wal Asr, I swear by time, most of the world we see is misguided. Most of the world is wrong. The majority of the people in the world are wrong. We saw this in history. We saw this in the time of Ibrahim, in the time of Nuh, in the time of Musa, in the time of Isa, in the time of Muhammad. We saw it in the time of all the prophets. With all this history, with all these experiences, with all these examples, with this clear declaration of the Quran, I don't understand how is the world and why is the world so proud of their majority? Understand this. How is it? Why are these people so arrogant and so proud of their majority after all the experiences we have and the clear declaration of the Quran? What are they thinking to say that we have the majority? What are they thinking to say they have a majority? Don't they read the Quran? Haven't they read the lives of the prophets? Haven't they read the history of the prophets? All that has shown that the majority is wrong. Only a minority will be successful. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nare Haydri.
Yari.
And hence we see, my brothers, Allah swears by time. and says, well, Asr, this rule applies. I swear by time this rule applies that the majority are in loss. And this has always happened when we see the history of the prophets, the history of Islam, we see this happening. Even until today we see it happening. But you know what? Now let me change the topic a bit. When we look at in the past, we see this rule applying. But when we look in the future, we see this rule being changed. Understand this. This rule applies. The rule is that the majority is in loss, the minority is successful. But when we see the future, when we read about the future, there we see the situation has changed. There we see everything has changed. This rule doesn't apply. Now what happened? This Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam,
had declared, and he had made it clear, that when my heir will come, when my heir will come, the last one who will be from my progeny, when he will come, then what will happen? يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا وَقِسْطًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. Just like the earth was filled with injustice and darkness, it will be filled with justice. You see this? Now we see that the situation has changed. It means that there will be justice like there was injustice. There will be fairness like there was unfairness. Just like that. Now when we see these words, and I will raise this issue, when we see these words of the Prophet, who is the messenger of Allah, who does not speak unless Allah wants him to. He said what? He said that there is going to be justice like there was injustice. So right now there's injustice. We see it happening. And there will be justice. So now, tell me, when that justice that will be there will be in place of the injustice that is there today? Now, when it says that there is zulm, when he said that there is injustice, is everyone unjust? Is everyone a zalim? Understand this. When we see that he says that just like there is injustice, there will be justice. When he said, okay, right now there is injustice, is everyone a zalim? Understand this. For example, I came to eat. I saw the food. So I went and ate. So I have eaten because there is food there. I have eaten that there is food there. But if there was no food, I won't eat. If there was no food, I won't eat. See, eating can only happen when the object is there. When the object is there, that's when you can eat. If there is no food, then you can't eat. So now what happens? Just like that, every action needs that object. Every action needs that object. So now what happens is that when you say zulm, and if anyone wants to be a zalim, then the only way he can be a zalim if there is a mazlum. The only way one can be an oppressor, if there is an oppressed. If there's no one to oppress, how can he be an oppressor? You see that? There must be someone here who is oppressing. So the one he's oppressing, he's not zalim, he's mazlum. He's mazlum. So not everyone is unjust. Injustice will happen when you are doing injustice to someone. So that person there is, there are some people who are good, they are Muslim. Just like that, in those days, there will be justice. There will be justice, just like there was injustice before. In other words, as you see that injustice is the main idea, injustice is happening throughout the world, just like that, there will come a time when there will be only justice. When there will be justice, just like that, everyone will be just. Injustice will be hard to find. Unjust or people who are unjust will be hard to find. Just like today, just people are hard to find. Understand what I'm saying, my brothers? So now when Rasulullah said these words, when Rasulullah made these words clear and said that there will be a time when there will be justice, just like there is injustice today. So now when he said this, on the other hand, Allah is saying, Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, I swear by time. I swear by time that man is no good, that the majority is no good. So if the majority is no good in every time, then how is it that the Prophet is saying that there will be a time when most of them will be good? See, understand this. There is a contradiction. There is a contradiction to what the Prophet is saying and to what the Quran is saying. The Quran is saying what? It is saying that the most of the people, the majority of the people are wrong in every time. And Rasulullah is saying that there will come a time when the majority will be good, when the majority will be just. So the only way this could happen is if time does not apply to that time. Understand this. If time doesn't apply to that time, this asr does not apply to that time, this zaman doesn't apply to that time. This is the reason he said, before at that time, at that asr, at that zaman, before that asr comes, the waliul asr comes with it. Before the zaman comes, the sahib ul zaman will come with it. He who has the ikhtiyar of time in his hand. Waliul Asr means the one who has wilayat over time. Sahibul Zaman means the one who is the owner of time. This is the one whom he will come, that will be a day. This is the reason in the hadith it has said that if the world, if the time of the world ends, then Allah will extend that one day to such an extent that one, that Rasulullah said that my heir will come in that time to establish the government of Allah. See that? This is the reason we see that this, inshallah, I will explain more tomorrow when we go into details about many more things. But inshallah, today it is understood that the principle Allah has given is that the majority of the people in every group will always be astray, will always be wrong, and the minority will be right. The minority will be successful. Because only a few understand the maslahat and the issues that Allah has handed down to us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessings in this month of Ramadan. I ask Him to give us the guidance to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir al-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.